Okay, today I'm in Ipswich with Darren Bird, otherwise known as Birdie, the racing cartoonist artist. Hello, Darren. Thanks very much for agreeing to talk to us today.
My pleasure.
Now, you were telling me before we started the interview that you started off being a racing fan and, you know, you've concentrated on the racing with your drawings, but it's actually taken you right into the heart of racing that people would be quite envious of.
Yeah, I mean, as I say, it seems to have flown by, but it's probably 2013 when it all started. But right up to this year, I mean, one of the highlights was going over across to Ireland to Ferry House and the Irish Grand National.
So how did that come about?
Basically an email, as I say, through everything else I've done over the last few years, Ferry House contacted me and said, would I be willing to come across to do a bit of a mural and almost to play it by ear, really, almost a free rein, pardon the pun. But it was just fantastic. From the minute I stepped off the plane, took some pens and some paints with me, arrived at Ferry House. Weather wasn't great, but you're never going to go to Ireland and moan about the weather. So just to be there and to actually soak up the atmosphere was fantastic.
And so when did you say you started this?
2013, I think the first birdie went out.
Okay, so it seems like you've been around forever. I had to ask because I thought it must be 2003. So how did this sort of start?
Well, obviously, I mean, I've probably made it known that everything I've done today has all been done around a day job as a graphic designer. Racing's always been a passion of mine, and so is drawing. But I remember coming home and on a Friday evening, been one of those Fridays, a long Friday, and tuning into the Get In show, which was just a habit, it's natural, to see Jason and Luke. And on this particular Friday, they were playing up to the camera, shall we say, like they normally do. And I had a blank piece of A4 paper and a biro in my hand, and I decided to tweet my first tweet. I had 5 followers on Twitter, and tweeted the image to the show.
And what did Luke and Jason say about it?
Well, the thing was, they went to an advert break after I tweeted, and I thought, nothing's going to come of this. I didn't expect anything to come of this. And when they came back, there was my picture on the screen. And they proceeded to talk about it for the next 3 or 4 minutes, which felt like years. Called all the family in to look at my picture, you know, Dad's pictures on the TV. And they were in hysterics, absolute hysterics. And the smile it put on my face, honestly, to suddenly be, if you like, an unknown artist or this, that and the other, on a racing channel, that feeling was second to none.
So were you a racing fan before you were an artist, or the other way around?
Oh, I've been drawing for as long as I can remember. But then going back to childhood memories of standing outside the bookies, listening to the commentary whilst I waited for my dad to come out from the 3:30 at Newmarket or whatever, peering through the chains, I like to think they're quite closely aligned.
So that would have put a lot of kids off, but it didn't put you off.
He wasn't in there for too long. He'd probably hate me for saying it, making him sound like a bad parent, but it's just one of those fond memories to sort of think back. I like to think I'm not that old, but I remember when there were no TVs in the bookies and there was the chain hanging down outside the door and the commentary was all over radio. But listen to those. Some of those commentaries are the best commentaries still.
So when were you generally a sit-at-home racing fan, or did you used to venture off to the race courses?
Well, my dad was a postman, so he worked 6 nights a week. So, but I remember specifically on a Saturday morning, he would get up to watch the racing and we'd sort of sit down and watch it together. And then from the earliest age that I could possibly sneak in to the bookies, probably around 16 to have a bet, I would go with him. And that turned into a sort of a regular family, I say family, it was only myself and my dad, trait. So we'd go on a Saturday and try and win our fortune, shall we say.
So you say that you've been drawn as long as you can remember and that your day job is a graphic designer. When did you start to concentrate your art on horse racing?
Really, I was probably a hobby artist, as it were. If you like, I'd see a picture and try to replicate it in what spare time I had. Do a little bit of painting here and there with some acrylics, watercolours. But the cartoons only really came about since I tweeted that first that image, if you like. I'd always enjoyed drawing cartoons and putting a smile on people's faces. from Ipswich. So Giles, the cartoonist, every year I got a Giles book for Christmas from, and I'd quite often copy the picture from there and do little sketches for people. So you say drawing cartoons was always something natural to that came to me.
So Luke Harvey and Jason Weaver gave you your big break. Did it all sort of take off from there?
It kind of did, really. It actually took a couple of days to sink in, the fact that I'd actually been on at the races and the image had been shown. It isn't something I never really expected to happen. So, I mean, the challenge was set then. I did one the following week and the following week, and not really expecting anything. There was a few followers coming up from the 5 followers I had on Twitter, which was all very nice. I started maybe watching a little bit more racing, even more so, to see if something was happening. But like I said, it was like a light bulb moment. So the next step actually was getting the email from the producers about the races and saying, would you come in and draw live? I won't tell you the bodily reaction that you had to something like that. But yeah, it was amazing. And of course, again, it was a challenge that I had to accept.
And is that something that you can do? Can you work under pressure?
I'd like to think so over the last 6 years. I mean, and also to accept that challenge, which I did. Myself and my wife trundled down to Milton Keynes, and there was no green room and this, that and the other. It was totally something I didn't expect to be doing. A weird scenario, but a very exciting one. And I have to say, if you want a group of lads to put you at ease, it's Jason and Luke.
Yeah, I can't imagine it'd be a good idea having a green room with Luke in the room. But anyway, so what other commissions that you've had that have put you under similar pressure, not necessarily on the telly? Any big names?
Well, as I say, one of the biggest commissions, if you like, was to go to Cheltenham Racecourse. And if I touch on Cheltenham, the first experience of Cheltenham on the back of the At the Races sort of commission, if you like, to go in and draw live, was to join the Channel 4 team on the morning line and create an image every day of the festival. Never been to the festival in my life. I'd had the week already booked off, and they invited me down there to join them on the sofa, as it were, and draw live. That was another fantastic experience. The team again were brilliant. The experience of being at Cheltenham at 6:30 in the morning and seeing Willie Mullins lot come off the gallops is every racing fan's dream, let alone, you know, the kind of mentality of knowing that you're going to be on TV almost seemed to sink in and become natural. I'd much rather be behind the camera, not in front of it, but I was there on the sofa with Mick Fitzgerald, Charlie Swan, Ted Walsh on live TV. So I remember one of the key questions at the close of the show was Nick Luck turning to me and asking me which horse won the champion hurdle, which famous jockey rode it, with Charlie Swan there staring at me. So I had to say it's De Brack. Thankfully I got that right, and as a big sigh of relief. But from that experience, Cheltenham actually invited me to paint a mural. It was the first Banksy birdie, if you like, at a race course. It was the first piece of artwork in the brand new grandstand. And again, I rocked up to Cheltenham the day before the festival began. This is the following 2 years after I was on with Channel 4. And there was a massive blank wall, resulted in a 40-foot by 19-foot mural. Had to be finished because obviously this was the Monday of the week. Festival kicked off the next day, and absolutely shattered. But this mural ended up 40 foot by 19 feet, and it's still one of the most proudest things I've ever done, because there was pictures of AP and Ruby and lots of horses and jockeys or everything going on, but to actually be around for the next 4 days and watch racegoers interact with it, because that was the idea, that people could take a selfie next to it and everything else. Obviously everybody's familiar now with taking selfies with jockeys and this, that and the other, but to have a piece of artwork at a race course and actually just to sit back quietly with my coat and my cap in the corner and me half a Guinness and to watch people taking photographs of it, it's just an amazing thing, really.
No, that's quite a short notice to do that one day. Hardly time for the paint to dry. But a lot of the charm of your work is the way you put horses in a position that people know the name, in your pictures. Now, is that something that comes naturally to you? Can you just suddenly think, that's the name, that's the how I'm going to do it? Just some.
Well, the thing is, but it's the amount of, as my family will vouch for, it's the amount of racing that I watch. I like to get the details right. Goes back to the Giles cartoons. The thing with creating a piece of art is not necessarily the main feature of the subject matter. It's what you put in the corner. It's what you put in the background. So adding little things that it's very important to me, and that's what I like to think that sort of sets it apart. I mean, just for instance, people say, "Why do you draw these horses with these silly big grins?" Well, I enjoy what I do, and that grin, I even catch myself sometimes. I could be sat on my own and I'm starting to smile as I come up with this idea. That horse reflects the grin of enjoyment, if you like, and I'm not making it up. And honestly, it's not a sales pitch or anything like that. That's the enjoyment it gives me from creating this piece. And obviously, when you see people share it, and when people come up to the races and talk to you about, "Oh, I love this one," or "I love that one you did of," they're all still fresh in my mind, so it gives me a lot of enjoyment, and hopefully that comes through the artwork.
You must be absolutely gutted sometimes. You've seen a name and you've got the picture in your head, and all it's got is a row of duck eggs. Have you got any particular one that you wish would win a race so you could do a picture of it?
I couldn't begin to tell you how many different versions of Harry Angel I've drawn, bless him. And the thing is, as I say, he's such a superstar, and I've got him on my website and this, that, and the other. And I'm very lucky that I now do pictures for Godolphin. And the thing with the characters in racing, equine and human, is they provide me with as much inspiration on a daily basis as any artist could wish for. I can sit in my room here and it can be chucking it down with rain. I can be following racing at Belmont Park, and there's a story to be had everywhere. So I like to think I'm happy to draw a Group One winner or something that's running at Wolverhampton. Ultimately, everybody, every horse has got an owner. Every horse has got somebody cheering and rooting for it. So, that's part of the passion. That's part of the inspiration, if you like.
They talk about colourful characters. You're just as happy drawing racing personalities as you are the equine stars.
Very happy. I think as long as you capture the image in the right way. I've never been the sort of person to do, I know they call them caricatures. They're more like portraits on with larger heads on top of smaller cartoon bodies. I'd hate to think that I'd done somebody an injustice with any of my caricatures, if you like. But that's why I'll make the cartoon of the horse. Again, it's just as much about them.
Now, are you interested in punting? The Star Sports being a bookmaker, are you interested in having a bet?
Oh, definitely, definitely. Like I said, from as early as time I could sneak into a bookies, I'd be sat there with my dad trying to win my fortune. Needless to say, I'm glad I've taken up the artwork. But I'm not a very successful punter. On good days, when you get 3 out of 4 or 4 out of 4, touch wood, there's been a couple of those. But I've never won a fortune because there's an element of risk, like with anything. But I like to think I'm a safe punter. I'm prepared to go with the flow. I like to select a horse and sometimes play a little bit of Russian roulette, watch it a few times, and then have a bet on it. For me, punting's part of the racing. My sort of gambling sometimes is to draw a picture before the race. I'm known for drawing pictures very quickly, which I can do, but sometimes there's been a fair bit of prep work before it. So when it does cross the line, it's just as good as having a tenner on the nose, if you like. You get it out there, and that's when you get the retweets, and I think that's how my work has spread. But yeah, I do like a bet. I don't bet as often as I used to, mainly because it's all about time to do. In order to be a successful punter, I think you have to put a fair bit of work and research into the game. But yeah, so I stick to drawing as opposed to punting.
Now, I think you're possibly lulling the bookmakers into a false sense of security because you are rubbing shoulders with some very, very clever people these days, the top echelons of racing, aren't you? Have you had your card marked?
No, no. I mean, again, I have to say, from somebody who is an outsider to racing, and like I say, a total outsider, the reception I've had from trainers, jockeys, owners, so accommodating and so nice to talk to. I've never gone up to Nicky Henderson and asked him for a tip. That would be ridiculous. And you know, I've learned that from being around horses that they're not just machines at all. So I like to think over the 6 years, I've developed so much respect for the hard graft it takes to not only get a horse to the race course, and just the enthusiasm and the care and everything else that goes into owning a horse. I mean, I'd certainly, if I was ever really successful from a race and artwork point of view, my dream is to have a Birdie Syndicate one day, just so I can follow that horse around and be passionate about the share or the half a leg I have in that. And I say, doesn't mean I won't have more money on it when I think there's going to be a good day, but going around race courses asking for tips, I think you bet with your eyes and not so much your ears, and I think that's something that is a lot to be said for.
Okay, Darren, people might think you're just pretending there, but I know you're actually doing something that I can't see. So do you sort of sit there with a notepad or a laptop or something in case you have an idea that you don't want to forget, like people do when they write, you know, authors and things like that? Is it, if you have a eureka moment, do you scribble it all down and, or maybe even just start doing the picture?
Yeah, I think the thing with, I'm never too far away. I say I'm a graphic designer for during the day, so I'm never too far away from a paint and this, that and the other, brush and pen. A lot of it I do now digitally. It's just quicker to colour in. A lot of my early work was watercolours, so you've got that frustration, you've drawn the idea out and then you're waiting for the watercolours to dry. The ideas come very quickly. I mean, one of my, if I was to big myself up, it is the ideas. So horses like Might Bite and some of the fantastic names you have for some of these runners are just lending themselves towards a cartoon, but you know, Sprinter Sacra, Black Aeroplane, the horse in the aeroplane in the hangar. I think that was one of my favourite ones, is to draw him in his hangar peering out when he was retired with Seven Barrows sign there. So and the thing with race, and it seems to stick in my head, sometimes the first idea you start sketching, in fact many a time I've sketched an idea that you get suddenly get a second wind, if you like, and think of something better, but yeah, the ideas do come naturally.
And do you have many ideas that you've done that are just sort of sat around?
I've got a lot of work, unsold birdies that hopefully will be sold one day, and a lot of the early work especially. But I tend not to many of them because of the actual time spent on doing the pictures is being a little bit more selective than I used to be. Try not to just jump straight in with a picture of something straight away. So, because there might be another race, well, there's always another race around the corner, but just picking my moments. Like you say, sometimes you get an idea and it might be the tone or something not quite right. Unfortunately, with racing, we do get injuries, and that's a sad part of the game. And so I'd like to think I'm quite sensitive with when I put images out. And the last thing you want to be doing is doing a cartoon of a horse that's suffered an injury. But I've also been involved in creating some images, even outside of racing, of a Pudsey Bear image that had for when Terry Wogan passed away. I did a quick image one morning and that had a million reach. I had the Telegraph, the Sun, phoning me up and saying, could they use it? And the power of social media, it's quite incredible at times. It can be a very negative place, and that's why I think that I'm so glad that so many people seem to like what I do, because I do put a lot of thought into it. And so when it comes back to racing, because it's a passion of mine, I try and nail it every time.
Now, you mentioned that. It's very interesting because racing's a passion of yours, but would your commercial future be rosier if you looked beyond racing?
I don't know. I think that depends on the approach, on the audience that I've built. Like I say, when I sent that first tweet out with 5 followers, and now to have over 13,000, it's just quite incredible. I almost sometimes feel I don't deserve it, in the sense that the fact that all I do is really put out an image of something that I'm passionate about and I enjoy. And the fact that people share it, it's a great feeling. I'd like to stick with racing. Racing Post kindly put a book together of my images, and it was penned in the Racing Post that I was racing's cartoonist of choice. That's a line that I didn't create myself, but it's certainly a line I'm very proud of. And, you know, from that point of view, I'm proud of what I've achieved. So I'd like to stick with that and see how far it takes me.
Now, you're proud of what you've achieved, but you're also incredibly modest, because we've been talking now for over 25 minutes, I think, and you haven't mentioned that you got commissioned by Belmont Park, and you haven't mentioned that you've done Winks in Australia.
Yeah, I mean...
come on, let's start blowing a trumpet here.
Well, as with everything in America, and I've never been, not even for a family holiday, but certainly I'd like to go and watch the racing. But yeah, I produced a picture of California Chrome that... they used in their race card, and I've got it signed, you know, by the jockey, you know, Victor Espinosa, and there's a picture of it there just to prove it. As with everything in America, they seem to do it bigger. A4 race cards, and to have this, just it means the world to me. I'm like a big kid. It's like a Christmas. I haven't got this out of the envelope for probably at least 6 months too. So when you turned up, it was a good excuse to look at it again, and it does raise a smile to my face. And with Winks, what a superstar. Had the Valley Racecourse contact me and said, could I send over a cartoon that they wanted to turn into posters to sell for a few dollars to raise money for a children's charity. So I jumped at the chance. It'd have Birdie in the corner, it'd have corporate logo, and they'd be tweeting it out across the day, as it were. And for the last 3 years now, I've sent them an image each time, and they've been kind enough to send me a nice cap and some memorabilia that I keep safely tucked away one day with Hugh Bowman's signature on. So shows, you know, Birdie spread quite far and wide from my little base in Ipswich.
And anybody watching this, Birdie is now a worldwide brand if you want to get in contact with him. And now you're talking about you know, there's races every day. If a forward-thinking race course was to hire you, would you be able to sit there and come up with a sketch for each winner during an afternoon with half an hour in between? Would that put you under pressure?
Well, it does, but it's a pressure that I've learned to enjoy. I've learned what's feasible in a half an hour. You can't do a masterpiece, if you like. I'm now a proud ambassador for Race and Welfare, which is just an amazing, again, opportunity for me to work with a fantastic team that do great work for the people that basically put racing on a plate for us racing fans every day. This year at Ascot, they had the Kipco boards that they parade around at the beginning of the race. So I was set a challenge to draw some Birdie artwork on the winner's race board. So between each race, to say 6 races, they brought the board up to me, I created a piece of artwork on it, and they auctioned it off for Race and Welfare. I think we raised just over £2,500 by that. So yeah, that's a challenge I enjoy very much so.
And you've still got stuff out there that people can buy for that goes to Race and Welfare?
Yeah, certainly at the moment. We've got some Christmas decorations that are on my website that the money's going to charity and going to them. So I'm hoping there'll be at least a few of those dotted around on a few Christmas trees this year. So the website is only happened this year. It's an amazing platform, so people can buy Birdie mugs and Birdie t-shirts and this, that and the other with the images on. It's one of those sort of achievements that I never thought would happen, so I'm very proud of it.
And the website address will be scrolling across as we speak. Now, can you talk about some of the higher profile commissions you've had? You told me that you were over at the Mullingyard.
Well, I went over to Ireland, and it was actually Gordon Elliott's yard I went to. Basically, I was there for the Grand National, Irish Grand National, and the Tuesday got sadly rained off. So I had a day to spare, and as everything happened over that weekend, Fairy House were fantastic, and they thought, hang on, we can't have Birdie twiddling his thumb. So they packed me off to Gordon Elliott's yard. The piece of artwork that I did for Gordon to celebrate his 200th winner. And by the time I got to the yard that morning, they'd already hung it up above the tack room. So if you're ever in Ireland and you ever get a chance to go, there's a large 8-foot by 4-foot Birdie piece of artwork hanging above his tack room.
Now, you've mentioned that you're not doing this for a living. I mean, people might be a bit surprised by that. So is there an ambition to do that, or are you quite happily just doing it for a bit of fun and a few extra quid?
No, the ambition is to turn Birdie full time. Obviously, that involves me taking the step one day and actually say I've done it. With 3 children and everything else, we're all growing up fast. I'm trying to choose the time when I do it. I said this year, I think it probably might be next year. It's just looking for that opportunity. I get lots of commissions, which I'm really grateful for. Having the website and a lot of the merchandise out there is, again, equally fantastic. I'd like a regular slot with the cartoon, if I'm honest, somewhere. Just something that I know each week or each month there's a piece of artwork that I'm coming my way. It's been a very exciting 2018 with Godolphin coming on board and asking me to do their Group 1 winners. I never expected to be as busy as I have been, because they've had a fantastic year, but I'm not grumbling about it. So I've been up at 5 o'clock on a Saturday morning drawing horses from winners from Randwick, and like I say, 10 to midnight racing in America and Canada. They've had a brilliant year all across the globe. So on the back of that, I'll take each day as it comes, and if something comes along, I'll certainly be willing to grab it with both hands.
Well, I often ask professional punters this, but how does that sort of lifestyle fit in around your family life? Because is your family sort of put up with that nocturnal life?
I think they accept it, that it's an obsession, and whilst not all of them are the biggest racing fans in the world, I think I've put them all near enough all off, other than my youngest. They do enjoy a day at the races. We've had some good days. I remember being a race maker and taking the girls to York, which is a fantastic place. Again, with the artworks taking me to race courses I never dreamt I was going to go to. But those experiences have just increased the passion. Unfortunately, when it comes to the family, obviously family comes first, but racing and my artwork is a close second. I'm going to keep going with this. It's too late for me to turn back.
So where are you going to be in 2 years?
Hopefully doing it full time. Hopefully with commissions coming from more race courses, more people that have watched this and suddenly realised this is what I'm doing, this is what I'm about, and what I'm trying to achieve. There's a lot of people who already know. I've got a few things penciled in for next year, a couple of murals and some race days to do some sketching. And like I say, I want to try and build on that. Maybe even go to actually show people how I create the quick images. I'm more than happy to get more people drawing horses and trying to do that. I was quite scared of putting my artwork out there, I'd admit it, because, you know, especially on social media, that doesn't look like Ruby Walsh, or that doesn't look like AP. You know, that's all part and parcel of it. You've got to be brave in this world, and racing's one of the bravest sports in the world. A jockey to get up onto a horse and go at 40 miles an hour and, you know, do that, you know, I've total and utter respect for him. To train race horses and, you know, everything around racing, there's so many similarities with me trying to be successful with my artwork. I think there's a link there that I didn't appreciate, and a comparison people probably might say you're a bit crazy, but that's the other thing. You have to be a bit crazy to get up at 6 in the morning to draw a picture, or up at 2 a.m. or 4 a.m. to draw the winner of the Melbourne Cup. But if you love what you do, then it's not like work, is it?
You've obviously got huge enthusiasm and ambition. Is there anybody that you've yet to draw that you've really got on your hit list?
There are probably lots of people, if you want to call it, that are on the hit list. But again, it's waiting for the moment to capture them. If you're going to name drop, then if you turn around and to actually, but you know, you can tell by the smile on my face, to turn around and say that the Queen's got two birdies that are hopefully hanging somewhere, maybe near the royal throne.
If you're going to name drop, that's starting fairly high.
I've got videos. I've got two videos where some friends of mine kindly filmed their children handing over on two occasions now a birdie original, where, and to see the Queen and see her chuckle and point and not just hand it over to the flower lady, actually went into the Bentley and it's hopefully somewhere in the palace then. And I haven't been sent to the tower yet, so I think that's a magic moment, as I say. So I'm really proud of that. And as for the others who haven't been birdied yet, well, I'm available for commissions.
Like I said, you were modest, but you kept that right to the very end, didn't you?
Well, you know, to keep something in my pocket.
Brilliant. Darren, birdie, bird?
Any one of those.
Thank you very much indeed.
No, thanks ever so much.
Right, hold on a minute, Darren. You just watched me pack everything away, all my tripods, all my microphones, all that stuff, and you just told me the most fantastic story. Now, it might, for fear of ruining your reputation of being whiter than white, you've got to tell me it, please, and for the viewers at home.
I mean, it's hardly the biggest punting story ever, but I can remember in the early days going into a certain bookmakers quite early on a Saturday morning, and the only racing that used to be on would be Greyhounds or South African racing. And there's me and another guy who I happen to know in there, and we're just writing out a couple of little bets, you know, literally 10p lucky 15s for the afternoon. So South African racing was on, and suddenly where the results were, up flashed the result of the very next race. And we'd heard of maybe rumours of the racing being recorded, so I thought, hang on a minute, has there been some sort of cock up here, or is it just a mistake? But proceeded to look at the winner and noticed that it was 16-1. So I actually had some money in my pocket that I was supposed to go and buy a pair of trainers when my parents had sort of kindly donated to me to go and get. So I was very conscious of just emptying all of that onto it based on something that I thought I might have seen. So I wrote out just a £5 win at 16-1 on this race. I say this is 30 years ago.
I think there's still a chance of you getting nicked, but carry on.
I'll start until I finish. So I went and put that on, and even the guy behind the counter was like, hang on, do you fancy this? And I was kind of cheaply said yes, you know, studied the form, etc. And the guy who was in the bookies as well at the time, he says, hang on, you just... I said, well, I think they flashed the result up. So he went and did the same. And needless to say, I went and had a few more quid on it. And we stood there watching the race as this 16 to 1 shot that was then backed into eights promptly romped home by 10 lengths, and we collected. And I resulted in getting me two pairs of trainers that afternoon and having some decent bets. But yeah, it's a story that I neglected to tell you early on.
How about that, Ben? Even birdies at it. Punters, punters. Anyway, can you show us what you've been drawing, birdie?
I don't know if you'll recognise them, but I say, whilst we've been doing an interview, when we bumped into each other at Cheltenham, you had a book. Let me turn that around. See? When we bumped into each other at Cheltenham, you had a nice fetching hat on there. So I can't do that today.
How chuffed am I? Brilliant, birdie. Thank you very much.
You can follow Star Sports on Twitter at @StarSports_bet, our Facebook page at @StarSportsBet, and also view all our latest videos on YouTube at Star Sports. BeGambleAware.org. Over 18 only.